At WakeMed MyCare 365, we deliver convenience others only talk about every day of the year. Primary care and urgent care under one roof. Multiple locations, virtual visits, walk-in or schedule an appointment online. From annual physicals and routine care to sinus infection, strep, or the flu, we couldn't be more convenient. Learn more about our kind of care and our kind of convenience at wakemed.org.
Me and Dennis are still arguing.
We are, because, all right, let's get into the Daily Checkdown number 5. I know we actually had Daily Checkdown brought to you by Window Nation. So we're going to continue this NCAA conversation here. All right, so the NCAA, the new president, Charlie Baker, said earlier today, he wants a federal law to regulate the way college athletes can be compensated. So again, regulating how players can be compensated for endorsement deals that creates a registry of deals, agent certification, and uniform contract standards. The way I look at that, that's guardrails in terms of what that's limiting athletes and what they're allowed to do. I am against limiting athletes on how they're able to make their money. Now, in terms of you're talking a lot along the lines of coaches tampering, with schools tampering with players that are currently at a school. For example, if there's a basketball player here at NC State, a coach at Mississippi State can't contact that player directly unless they're in the transfer portal. Okay? Like, that's called tampering. Now, there are skirting around the rules. For example, a player at Mississippi State hits up a player at NC State and is just like, hey, man, I'd love to ball with you. Like, you can't do anything about that. You can't stop that. It's like, hey, well, you know what? I'd love to. Tell your coach I'm interested.
We agree when it comes down to, like, the guardrails, and I don't want to limit the amount a player can make. Not at all.
Okay.
Because
I don't want to limit how they can do it either.
That doesn't make sense to me. And I'm not saying how either. I'm just saying the only how that should be limited is before a player signs with a school.
Okay.
A collective, a booster, whoever, a company cannot offer you an NIL deal based on you being at that particular school.
Why?
Until you are signed. Now, if you are Zion Williamson before you go to Duke and people just – you have all these Twitter, Instagram followers and people, and you're getting it off of the strength of that, cool. But to steer you to the direction of Duke, you will get $1 million if you go to Duke. That, to me, it should not happen.
How do you prove
that? And there needs to be – there's different ways you could probably prove that.
How? Because here's the thing.
Listen, I'm not an FBI agent, but the United States government can find out a lot of things.
Here's the thing. Why do you want the government to step in on those deals? Like, why should the government step in on those deals? For example,
if you have the richest schools with the richest donors, like if you have the guy who owns Under Armour, and all of a sudden he's pumping a lot of money into Maryland, all of a sudden Maryland becomes really good. Then you have Phil Knight pumping a bunch of money into Oregon. All of a sudden Oregon becomes really, really good. And then all of a sudden that is changing the way that your athletics are going to run. Like, that's just – really changing, like, the what's the word I'm looking for here? It's changing. I'm looking for a word here that I'm missing.
Okay.
But that really messes up the competition.
Okay.
And
here's
that's not the part that that's the part that
I'm
against.
So here's the thing. How are you going to prove that if you're a top end high school athlete, Chris? All right, let me finish here. If you're a top end high school athlete, and I can just sit there and say, hey, I'm going to give this to you now because you're a 5-star player. Even though I know you might be heading to Duke, Carolina State, or whatever, how are you going to prove that that actually steered a player in that direction? Like, there's no tangible proof to do that. If I have able to work a deal with you before you actually get to that school, that's the point I'm trying to make. And also, why do you want federal legislation into that? Like, why should federal legislation be set up to make sure that there aren't recruiting inducements from coaches, which is what the NCAA currently has, that, for example, Mack Brown at North Carolina can't tell you as a recruit, Chris Lee,
right,
if you come to school here, I'm going to guarantee you $100,000. I got it lined up for you. You can't do that already. That rule's already set. So why should the federal government also get involved in that? My opinion, that's dumb. This is what I'm talking about, guardrails, limiting what players can do. There's no reason for that. But also, does every single business that wants to do with a college player have to register? No, that's stupid. There's no reason for that. Our friends at Capital BST, they should not have to register to go do an NIL deal with NC State players. That should not be something that they have to do. in order to do a deal with UNC players or Duke players. They should not have to register to do that.
You're blurring it because
How am I blurring it?
You're blurring what I'm saying because I agree with that. I agree with what the last part you just said. But I'm simply talking about the inducements to get the player there. And you can prove if somebody's steering it, because if I'm Applebee's and I just want to just give a deal to a player because I feel like they'll make my business better, but as Applebee's, I'm not in bed with any school, then no, you can't. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. So, of course, you can't prove that it steered you either any type of way. But if I am I'll take Under Armour again, for example. Mm-hmm. Under Armour, and I'm giving you money, and I'm like, you know, Maryland's a good choice. Why don't you just go to – Maryland's a really good choice if you go there. Or another Under Armour school.
Prove that.
Then you can – that could be – man, that looks really fishy. And you saying that there's rules around that already? No, I mean, yes, there were. But when NIL came about, that changed the rules for them. That there's no rule about for NIL for that. So now it needs to change. Now, I'm right. I think you're right as far as, like, I don't think the federal government should get involved. But if you're trying to get the federal government involved, this is what you should get them involved for.
No, absolutely this not. Is what for you, recruiting inducements,
You don't need to have
– no.
I don't want players to have a cap on what they should make. I really
don't
want
players –
it's not
about cap. This is about controlling how they make money.
But that's what
money.
You were saying before. I don't want
a cap. I never said anything about cap.
No. You said you don't want players to have a cap, and I'm saying I agree with you on
that. Yeah, I never said that.
You said that you do not want players – you're misinterpreting what I'm saying. I agree with you that players should not have a cap on how much or how they make their money. But
– but what?
You should not be able to be associated with a school and be able to give people money to come to your school before they are signed. Once they come to your school and you are – NC State company, Maryland company, or Oregon company, or whatever, give them all the money that you want and however you want to give it to them. I don't care any about that. But you shouldn't be able to be associated with a school and say, you over there, come over here, I'll give you money. Not until they sign. Once they sign, give them however much you want. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
We agree for the most part. I'm just saying the inducements are...
I for inducements, again, inducements that come from coaches directly, that's already against NCAA rules.
But it's happening.
I know, but they're finding ways to work around the rules. Those things were happening before NIL.
But there isn't a rule now that has been updated for NIL. That is my whole point.
The rule has not been updated.
The rule has not been updated.
In the
updated
NCAA? Yeah, it
for,
has.
And only that the coaches can.
But yeah.
When you have schools that have general managers and other collectives and things like that who can call people and make these calls and come, that they can still do that, and they are doing that. That's what needs some framework around it.
I disagree. I don't think what Charlie Baker, the president of the NCAA, talking about how players, the way college athletes can be compensated, registry of deals, agent certification, uniform contract standards. No, I don't want any of that kind
that
of stuff.
Okay. I'm with you.
So NCAA, you know what the feds are actually going to tell the NCAA? Go kick rocks. Because guess
probably
what?
Probably should.
Because if you're going to try.
They made the mess.
Well,
that's
the thing. You made the mess. But here's the thing. If you want to put frameworks and framework and guardrails on these athletes, then guess what you need to do? Make them employees, which the NCAA 100%. Doesn't want to do.
100%. High five.
So, yeah, you want registry. High five. You want this? Pay the players.
Because what is NIL at the end of the day?
Getting paid.
It's just the NCAA passing it off
that's
to someone
all
else.
Doing. That's all
they don't
doing.
Have to share their actual money that they their billions of dollars that they're making off TV deals and endorsements with the players. That's all that is.
To me, feds need to just go ahead and just stay out of it.
That should be illegal.
What?
That part.
Oh, that.
Them passing the
yes.
buck. That's maybe what the feds should get involved with.
That I'm 100% with. All right, we've spent a lot of time on that.
Now we can hug.
Let's go to number four.
Now we can hug and make up.
You were giving me working punches there during the break. It was fine. No, it's great. I love that we have different sides on this. NHL Game 3 tonight. Stanley Cup Finals. Florida Panthers trailing the Vegas Golden Knights 2-0 in their series. You can actually listen to that game right here on 99.9 The Fan.
Absolutely.
Puck drop just after 8 o'clock. So, again, you listen to that right here in The Fan. It stinks that the Carolina Hurricanes are not in this right now. But... Sergei Bobrovsky, that guy who just completely tore up the Carolina Hurricanes in net for the Florida Panthers, actually got yanked in game two in that 7-2 loss. He's supposed to start tonight. He's expected to start tonight. I don't see why would you turn away from Sergei Bobrovsky, because again, that's the what he's capable of is so great. But Vegas seems to have their number right now.
Yeah, the Panthers probably just need to muck it up a little bit and make it super physical. Like, don't let Vegas get any space whatsoever. And I mean, you're right. Like, Bobrovsky looked like a wall against the Carolina Hurricanes, and against the Vegas Golden Knights, he looks like an ant.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it's just – it's crazy the difference in just one series, how he looks.
The guys in front of him didn't do any help in game two. They took a couple very undisciplined penalties, did the Florida Panthers early in game number two, and before you know it, Vegas is up 4-0. And a couple of those were power play goals. So they definitely took advantage of that for sure. And I think being back at home, I think Florida is going to be a little bit more disciplined. Like you said, kind of buck things up a little bit.
Yeah.
I think they're going to definitely bring that physical style of play that they brought against the Carolina Hurricanes, that more heavier style of play. I think they're going to keep this one a little bit more low scoring. Florida Panthers 3-2 tonight.
I agree with you on that.
Florida Panthers 3-2. And guess who's probably going to have the game-winning goal? It's probably going to be Matthew Tkachuk.
Probably Matthew Tkachuk. I agree with you on that. But I think Golden Knights still win the series probably in
six.
Five or six games.
I'm with you on that.
All right, let's go to the next one. 1, 2, 3. All right, NBA. Talking about game threes. We had game three last night of the NBA Finals between
Denver was so
the Denver Nuggets and also the Miami Heat. And, man, Denver was on one. The first two players to ever have 30-point triple-doubles in the same game, Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray.
In NBA history.
Ever in NBA history.
Doesn't matter. Regular season, postseason, doesn't matter.
That is wild. And a part of that is the fact that the Nuggets, when they landed in Miami on Monday, went the opposite direction of South Beach. They went 30 minutes away to their teammate Jeff Green's house and just fellowshipped as a team.
Yeah.
And ended up really coming together, and that's a good thing that ended up happening for them. They walked away with the win.
One thing I'm noticing from the difference between these two teams is that I feel like Miami has to be hitting on all cylinders for a chance to win. Like, everyone has to be hitting on all cylinders for a chance to win. But Denver, that's not the case. For example, Michael Porter Jr., is he into the chat yet? He had 2 points yesterday. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope only had 6 points yesterday. Their bench only had 9 points yesterday for the Denver Nuggets. They don't have to be hitting on all cylinders to still win, whereas I think with Miami Heat, because
everything
of the injuries,
has to go right
everything has to
everything
work
has to go right
perfectly.
Right.
Like Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo. I mean, outside of those guys, they really didn't get a whole lot, because between those two guys, they had 50 points.
Yeah.
Between those two guys. If the rest of the team's only getting 44, long day. They have to be hitting. They hit 31% of their three-pointers yesterday. If they're not shooting 40-plus percent from three, and they're not shooting a 45-plus percent just from the floor as a whole, it's a long day for them. And just everything has to hit right. For example, 5 of 18. That's all the Denver Nuggets were from three-point. They were 5 of 18. That's 27%. Like, that's terrible.
They also,
but they still won by 15.
They exposed the Heat also on defense when they basically just ran pick and rolls for Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic the entire time, which is pretty much what happened, you know, against Nikola Jokic in game two, which is why Denver ended up losing. So, very interesting how that ended up happening. And now we have up 2-1. If the Heat have to win game four, that is basically an elimination game for them, in my opinion.
I'm with you.
All right, let's go next.
And I don't even care who number two is.
Chris Paul. Louisville, North Carolina native with the Phoenix Suns right now. One of four players scheduled to make over $30 million for the Phoenix Suns this upcoming season. And the Suns are like, 38 years old, another guy making $30 million. Yeah, Chris, let's come in and meet with this. And so they met with Chris Paul yesterday. And apparently Chris Paul knows that he will be probably waived from the Phoenix Suns by June 28th, I believe, is the date. He could either be signed back with the Phoenix Suns, or he could end up signing with another team. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a cost-saving measure for the Phoenix Suns. And I still think, though, that his best fit will probably be with the Suns. What do you think his best fit should be, Dennis?
As Stephen A. Smith said, the best fit probably is still with Phoenix because of the talent that's there, because you still have Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, two young players. Kevin Durant, one of the best players in the world, but just has not been healthy much of the last few seasons. I know everyone thinks the Lakers, but what about this one? What about Memphis?
To be Ja Morant's backup?
Well, when Ja Morant comes back from his suspension, however long that might be.
So the only reason why I would say no to that is because former Duke player Tyus Jones is there, mm-hmm. and he already has one of the best assist to turnover ratios in the NBA.
Yeah.
And the Memphis Grizzlies have a winning record with Ja Morant not there already anyway.
True.
Right? So they have a capable backup in Tyus Jones. So I'm not sure where Chris Paul like fits, especially if you want him on the floor. Because he's going to go to a place either as a starting guard, point guard, or a backup for another team. And there's probably other teams that need it more than him.
Yeah.
And honestly, the Lakers need it more than Memphis Grizzlies.
Very good point. It's amazing how just a couple years ago that team was in the NBA Finals. Now they just completely dismantled it. Like, Monty Williams, head coach, gone. They
traded a bunch of their depth.
But they traded a bunch of their depth to get Kevin Durant, and all of a sudden now you're going to get rid of your starting point guard as well. So you just completely revamped that team, and I don't think this team now that we're going to see next season for the Phoenix Suns is better than what it was a couple years ago that was in the NBA Finals.
It's going to be tough. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, really this front office is going to have to pull a rabbit out of the hat at some point mm-hmm. In this offseason to. Because really what you talked about right there is the depth. You've got, you know, Devin Booker. You've got DeAndre Ayton. And you've got Kevin Durant. So you're going to have a good core there. But if one of those people gets injured, and two of them are injury prone, so there's probably going to be injuries happening.
Yeah.
Who are you going to have to back them up? And that's really the question for the Suns, which is why you probably want to figure out a way to keep Chris Paul.
Next up.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Drive podcast. We're here with Coach Pete, Capital Financial Advisory Group. Coach, let's hear about your power plan.
Well, Coach Pete's power plan, 22 steps to get you on the right direction for retirement, and also make sure you have a successful, income-filled retirement. Tim, the next 10 people are going to give that away. No cost or obligation.
For the power plan, call 800-691-3215. You can also go ahead and text Tim to 600-700. The phone number, 800-691-3215, or text Tim to 600-700.
When Bryce Young is the starting quarterback for the Carolina Panthers, we know who his backup's going to be, and a reliable one in Andy Dalton.
Absolutely.
This is something the Carolina Panthers don't have to deal with. They don't have to deal with what the Phoenix Suns are going through, because we know QB1 is going to be Bryce Young. And he's getting those first-team reps already in OTAs, Chris.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Andy Dalton got the first-team reps to start off. We didn't know when Bryce Young was going to get the first-team reps, and it looks like it's right now. He's starting to get
now.
It right now. And just the way his teammates talk about him. I listened to Ike Ekwonu. I listened to DJ Chark talk about him today. And you know, even folks on the defensive side of the ball a few weeks ago, Shaq Thompson and others, they are glowing mm-hmm. about Bryce Young. And it doesn't feel like they're talking about a rookie. It feels like they're talking about a veteran quarterback who's been there. The problem is he hasn't played his first NFL game yet.
Very true. Now, you mentioned Ike Ekwonu and the development. Here's Ike Ekwonu, former NC State offensive tackle, first-round pick last year, number 6 overall for the Carolina Panthers, on Bryce Young and his development.
Bryce has been great. He's been developing really fast, you know, taking command of that huddle early. Just definitely excited to see his development more and more. Excited to see him grow. But he picked it up really fast. Definitely very impressive.
We've heard people talk about that the moment has never been too big for him. I know y'all haven't played a game yet, but have you sensed any of that even out here in June?
Yeah, definitely. You know, same guy every day, you know, calm, collected, and never really gets rattled out there no matter what's going on with practice. So, you know, I definitely, you know, moment's never too big. I can see that.
That's Ike Ekwonu discussing, again, the development of Bryce Young. Here's the big question going forward, Chris, for Bryce Young. We hear talking about he's hit every single expectation, right? Well, what if week one – he throws four picks and
it's
has a
possible.
Bad game. Like
it's very much so possible.
He's like throws 50, just completes 50% of his passes, 187 yards, throws three or four interceptions. You know, and then it's like all of a sudden you're like, okay, I thought this guy was hitting expectations. He's going to struggle. He's a rookie quarterback in the NFL. There are going to be moments where he struggles, but you want to see continued progress.
I think you have a very smart coaching staff. You have all these people on the coaching staff that have years of coaching experience in the NFL, but also a few players, coaches who are former players in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
They're smart. They know that they have a rookie quarterback. They know that they're going to have somebody who's going to step on the NFL field for the first time and feel those jitters. They know that when he plays his first game at Bank of America Stadium, it's going to be for Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
One of the biggest regular season games you can play in, mm-hmm. right? So
it's early in the year.
Play calling is going to be huge with that.
Mm-hmm.
You already have acquired the weapons. You've acquired the help on the offensive line. Now it's all about play calling. Frank Reich says that he is going to be the one calling the plays. He is going to do what he can do to protect Bryce Young. So you know that they're not going to have him air it out and have these, you know, 7-step dropbacks every play.
No.
to get it, you know, 50 yards down the field. That's not what we're going to see from Bryce Young and the Carolina Panthers. We're going to see Miles Sanders getting the ball out the backfield. We're going to see Hayden Hurst and Tommy Trimble getting the ball as tight ends, as their safety blankets. And then you're going to see the short intermediate routes from Adam Thielen and mm-hmm. DJ Chark and from Jonathan Mingo and others to help Bryce Young out. And also probably a heavy dose of the running game as well.
Yeah, you're going to see that a lot.
Because you know that this can happen, and you've said this early in the show. You don't want to mess with a young quarterback's confidence, and he can be as confident as he wants right now. If he goes out and has a really bad first game, man, his confidence may tank.
Yeah, and that's the last thing you want to do is tank a young man's confidence.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.